and the role of religion in society. I was hoping that you can comment as you see pop culture being able to provide sensationalism in a certain extent.
Yes.
As it relates to icons in religion.
Yes. That's distasteful sensationalism, too. I couldn't stand the movie. Yeah. Well, I will have a comment. You know, Jesus Christ may represent different things to different religious orders. I don't know, you know? I believe Jesus Christ represents truth, the best of the human soul, righteousness, truth, perfect morality, etc. Just the perfect human soul. But as I was reading the Bible, I read about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and it said while they had him suspended on the cross and dying, suffering and dying, he cried out and he said, "I thirst." And they brought him vinegar. They were very cruel to him. They brought him vinegar. And says when he took the vinegar, right away he gave up the ghost. Now, the word vinegar in Latin, in the language of the people of Rome, means, it's called acetia. Acetia, a play on asceticism, ascetic. And Jesus is a plural figure, not just a single figure. Jesus representing the best condition God wants for our human soul is not just a single figure. He's a figure of all people, not just one person. And that's in the Bible too. I can give you support for that if you would demand it. I say demand it because I could hardly stand up when I walked in. Your weather's so nice, and I missed so much sleep, I was almost sleepwalking. I understand it to be not the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, but the crucifixion of all people. And in particular, the crucifixion of the congregation that he led. Its leaders went to asceticism and lost their purpose in the social society of man, or in the world of mankind. That's my comments.
The other gentleman had an opportunity to ask two questions. May I ask two questions?
After I see what's happening on this side.
I have two questions too.
Well, let him ask his other one. And then I'll get back to you. Yes.
With so many students being here, and as Dr. Rowan has indicated, this has been an institution of learning where the focus is on intellectual development. Would you comment, where is it that our students need to know in an education, academic environment where drug abuse, alcoholism, gang rape, all the dynamics of a savage society unfortunately plagues many of our college campuses? The contradiction is, you would think, in such an environment where the intellect is being stimulated, you would find civilized behavior that would pretty much serve as a model, you know, for the common people. But yet and still, universities throughout this country are dealing with these major issues of human conduct. And I just wonder, could you guys comment in regards to the spiritual dimension of intellectual development and where it should carry us to these these prospective intellectuals?
Well, you know, we need to be awake, and we need to sleep. We need to rest. And sometimes activity is a rest. So these students need rest from the strain of the work that they have to do to meet the requirements of their class, their professors, and their class work. So I think they're just needing to kind of get away from the serious things every now and then, and we accept that. But the problem is when we make play more play and a world of play more fun than work in a world of happiness. Work gives us happiness. You know, we should find our greatest happiness in our work, and our work for the benefit of society, of our families and the society. That's where we should find our greatest pleasures. So it's nothing wrong with students having fun and loving to have fun, you know, play and do some silly things. I do some silly things myself sometimes, and I'm an old man now, and I do some silly things. It keeps me young. You have to do something silly every now and then, you know. This world is too serious. If you look at it and see it, it's too serious. It'll send you to the mental institution or to the graveyard. If you really see it clearly, it is very serious. yes. So I think what everybody needs to achieve, and especially our students who will be our future leaders, they need to achieve transparency, innocence of the human soul, where you don't see people in colors. You see people in their value to themselves, their families, and society. We need to achieve transparency. And where we have no selfish motives that hurt others, our motives are for our benefit and are good for everybody else. We need to achieve that. When we achieve that, God will give us extra help from His angels in His own light, and we'll be really successful as students and as future leaders.
Good evening. You had said language is tools for expression and it sustains human culture. How we perceive language is very important to religion. I was wondering, how much room for interpretation are we to allow when reading things like scriptures?
How much?
Room for interpretation.
Yes, yes.
Because it gets very scary when a certain institution or a certain individual says that this is the right way and it's the only way.
Yes, you know, we owe our advancement, our growth into civilization or into the good life, because actually civilization, the term civilization should be studied again too. we owe it to thinkers who came to be called philosophers. And those philosophers, their main focus was the human life and its nature and its role in influencing and shaping the environment, the environment. And they were very serious about the language they used. They took pains to express as close as possible the thought that they had in mind, the idea they had in mind. Exactly, they were brief. They tried to be brief and clear, as brief and as clear without losing clarity. They tried to be brief, but tried to be very brief. We, with our language, we're not even conscious of the use of our language. We just speak, you know, we just speak by habit. We speak by habit. Well, I think we need to give more attention to what we are saying. I even tell my children, maybe they talk to me, and I said to myself, I could have more time to listen to them if they would just be more accurate and say more accurately what they're trying to communicate, you know. When I was talking about language, I meant more than that. I meant language influenced mental development, moral development. It influenced the development of our societies, the language we use. Man originally got language out of the universe, out of the extended world, that's the external world. That's where he got language. Then he studied himself, he got language out of himself. So language formed because man engaged the external world. And God created, as we believe, God created the whole world to be language. The Native Americans, I read some of their writings by their leaders, and they believe too that in everything there is a communication, that the world communicates. It speaks to us. It speaks to us. God put messages in everything, and we call it an English. Universe. That's what I mean. Pay attention to language. We say universe, and we're talking about the whole of matter, the whole world of material things, the objects everywhere, us included, when we say universe. But look what it's saying very clearly. One verse. So how man related to matter and how matter influenced his thinking is very important to us understanding human life today, how it is shaped, how it is formed, and to making improvements upon our life. I think we need philosophers still to think in that kind of pattern or in that kind of focus, and if we can improve our language, we can improve our society. I remember when I first came into leadership, I knew what effect words had on me. My father kept African-American followers of his, called black Muslims, he kept us in a contained word environment. He influenced us not to even respect the language of the world, but give respect only to the language of the Nation of Islam, its teachings. So we were contained in a word environment that fed us and gave us faith in our own ability to manage our life and prepare ourselves for a better future. It did wonders for us. And having come through that experience, now, they didn't give it to me that way, but I studied it, and that's how I understood what was happening to us. When I first came into the position of a leader, I told the audience, and they grabbed it. I don't know if they felt it like I felt it, but it had magic. I said, words make people. And it worked magic for them and for me. Yes, I hope I'm helping you with understand what I was referring to.
Yeah, I understand what you said, that language and mm-hmm. literature is kind of a collective thing and it belongs to everyone. But what I specifically wanted to know was that scriptures play a big role in religion. And when it comes to our generation, we really can't read languages like Hebrew or Arabic or Sanskrit. And we have to depend upon other people's interpretations because, the language I can read best is English, and I can't read Sanskrit, for example. So how would you suggest people go about trying to get meanings out of scriptures, because people make all these claims and then they point to this verse. Oh, it says right here. We can do this. This is right.
Yes.
This is wrong.
Our Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him, he said, everything that God has revealed in scripture, every ayah, every expression in scripture, he said it has an expressed meaning and implied one that's not expressed in common language. It has to be understood, it has to be translated, it has to be interpreted or translated. And he said the same goes for my words when he spoke, whatever he said, you know. And I've come to believe the same goes for everything, you know. We say brick wall, but in some secret orders, they can say brick wall, and they are speaking in a whole different language. whole different language. When we go to college, like I did, I went to college just so I could learn. I didn't have time, didn't have money really, but I went to learn how to write better and speak better. So I went to college, and they gave me language 102, English 102. And in English 102, I learned about metaphors and how to interpret a piece of literature. Well, you learn that in college, but I think the common people need to understand that this world speaks over their head, and they shouldn't buy everything they hear.
Yes, that answered it. Thank you. You said transparency is for grooming family correctly. Transparency is innocence. Yes, that answered it. Thank you. You said transparency is for grooming family correctly. Transparency is innocence in the human soul. You spoke a little bit about that when that gentleman asked you a question. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Because it's kind of an abstract idea.
Was that what? That speak?
Transparency for viewing family correctly.
Yes. Yes, what you, but the last thing you said, that's what I did.
Transparency is innocence in the human soul.
Your question.
Can you elaborate a little bit on the concept of transparency? And
transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. There are many stories in Scripture I can give you to help out here, but I want to stay out of there right now. Yes, you know, a baby, every baby born is born with transparency. The baby mind has not been influenced by our thinking, by our behavior. So the baby is innocent. Its soul, its mind is innocent. And our system, the criminal law system and department, used to believe at one time, the period didn't last for that long, but they believed at one time that if they sterilized criminals, neutered them, they would reduce crime because criminals wouldn't be producing more criminals. And general leadership was not satisfied with that. They didn't like that. It was cruel. They saw it as cruelty. And they didn't accept it. And later it was changed. The learned people, the scholars, the educators, they came from that idea and brought our country back to the idea that criminal behavior is not inherited. So God has created man with a moral nature, a moral life, that can be poisoned by the individual who is given free will and free choices to choose bad or good. But when the life comes newly again from the flesh that God created, the baby comes here innocent, not guilty, like the flesh that bore it. So achieving transparency for our soul and our minds is just going back to that original, pure, premortal state of the human soul and life. That's all it means. Being innocent. Not having bad intentions, not being deceitful, guileless.
Thank you. Thank you for answering my questions, and thank you for coming to VCU.
And you don't have to be Jesus Christ to achieve transparency. Thank you. Peace to you all. Assalamu alaikum.
So again, I'd like to thank the Imam for coming to Richmond Community. Everyone keep seated, inshallah, while he's leaving.